Take your Bibles, if you would, this morning to Exodus chapter 12. Cam is here this morning as well, and we weren't going to do notes. At least we were prepared not to have any notes, and he said, listen, I'll fire some notes up here, so you can follow along. He's an amazing guy, how he puts things together in the last moment. Just so amazing. So you'll follow along if you want to, but take note of the scriptures, especially as we read them. I've called this, What the Blood Means to God. I think we have an idea of what the blood means to us, but I don't know if we have an idea what it means to God. It means something to the devil too. So it means something to God, something to us, and something to the devil. So it's important that we understand, and perhaps we should have maybe had communion afterwards, but either way, we participated in something here this morning that reminds us that this symbolic thing here in front of us right here is very meaningful to the Lord. So let me read from Exodus chapter 12 and verse 11. In this manner you shall eat of it with your belt fastened, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat in haste, for it is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And on the gods of Egypt I will execute judgments. I am the Lord. The blood shall be a sign for you, even on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. No plague shall befall you or destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. And then there's another verse here. I'm just going to read it from chapter 12, verse 23. It says, for the Lord shall pass through to smite the Egyptians. And when he sees the blood on the lintel and on the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not allow the destroyer to enter your houses to strike you. What amazing thoughts there are with this. Would you bow with me as we pray? Father, I pray that there would be something very real would be happen in our hearts this morning. We open ourselves to you, Holy Spirit. We desire to hear from you. So quicken this. Quicken this to our minds and keep us alert, Lord, here today, that we will get the full measure here from some 30-fold, maybe some 60-fold, and perhaps, Lord, even some 100-fold return on your word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. The blood was put on the lintel and the doorpost. The meat of the lamb was to be eaten inside the house. The sacrifice was made outside, but the eating of the lamb was to be eaten inside the house. And God said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And this is what I wrote. This blood was not meant to be presented to man to be seen or necessarily felt or even understood by him. It was holy for the Lord. He said, put this on the doorpost and on the lintel, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. That is a very powerful verse. As an act of faith, an act of obedience, they were to apply it to the doorposts. And God says, any time, any place where there is not blood on the doorposts and lintels, the destroyer is going to come. And there will be death. But when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Oh, what a wonderful, amazing verse. All who were in the house could safely trust, not because of something they felt, not because of something they necessarily even understood, but because the blood would mean to God exactly what he said it would mean. That he said it would mean. It was not necessary for them to understand more. And I would say this morning, we don't have to understand a lot, even by this communion. There's mysteries in it abounding, but It's not so important that we understand everything about it, but that we know that there is a purpose for it and God has an interest in it. The sign of the blood on the door was God's. By faith, they rested in his satisfaction. You see, mostly we think the blood is for us that Jesus shed. And we, you know, we sing that, remember we sing, I know it was the blood for me. And there's nothing wrong with those songs. But that's not what this is implying. This has to do with how God felt about it, what he was looking for, and their faith and trust in that shed blood. Leviticus chapter 16 is the other one. Exodus 12 talks about the blood on the posts. But Leviticus 16, I can't read it all, but let me read just a couple of verses. You should read it all to get the really richness of it, but for the sake of time. And he shall kill, verse 15, chapter 16, he shall kill the goat of the sin offering that was required. A sin offering was required. That for the people and bring in the blood inside the veil. And with its blood, as he did with, and dip with its blood, as he did with the blood of the bull, a sprinkling and over the mercy seat and in front of the mercy seat. Thus he shall make atonement, as this is what was called the Day of Atonement. Thus he shall make atonement for the holy place because of the uncleanness of the people of Israel and because of their transgressions, all their sins. And then drop down to verse 19. And he shall sprinkle some of the blood on with his finger seven times, and cleanse and consecrate it from the uncleanness of the people of Israel. The sin offering on this day was made publicly. It, as the lamb was with the Passover, the sacrifice took place outside, but the meat was eaten inside. In this case, the sin offering on this day was made publicly in the court of the tabernacle. The sacrifice was in full view of the people, so everybody could see that this sacrifice, this lamb had died. But the blood of the sacrifice was taken into the most holy place to be sprinkled and on the mercy seat before the Lord seven times by the high priest. So the high priest would go in to the holy place once a year and he would sprinkle seven times. He would sprinkle the blood, but it was private. Just as people couldn't see the children of Israel eating their food, it was inside they were eating that. So people, they could see the sacrifice, but they couldn't see what happened to the blood. And I made a note, this too was a transaction taking place between the high priest and God, away from the eyes of the people who were to benefit from it. You didn't know what the high priest was doing in there? He was making atonement. The lamb was being sacrificed. And the procedure from beginning to end was designed by God. It was God's idea, as it was in the Passover. So this in the tabernacle was all done by God for God's purposes. The high priest, a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, in obedience to God, made an atonement. The people believed this act would mean to God exactly what he said. He said, when he does that, you will be cleansed. And so blood was offered in response to God's command. It was not meant for the human mind to grasp. I'd be hard-pressed to understand it all. But I can accept it. And I can make sure that my faith and trust is focused on the blood and not on my own merit. That we can be sure of. It was not meant necessarily for anybody to feel anything. Say, well, I don't feel much. You know, I have communion. I don't feel anything. Don't really understand. I don't feel anything. Don't sense anything. You know, so what has that got to do with anything? It doesn't have anything to do with it. It wasn't meant for you. It doesn't matter if you understand this or not. It matters to God. And he said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. God needed to understand, and God did exactly what he said he would do. And it's a powerful thing. It pleases the Lord. It satisfies the heart of the Lord. So it was not meant for the human mind to grasp of the significance or the human heart to feel anything, what it meant, or to sense the truth. Cam, I don't think this is on there, but it just came to me. 1 Peter 1, I think it's verse 18. Let's turn to it. If you have your Bible, just turn to that. 1 Peter, it just popped into my mind here that this is a good verse. Chapter 1 of verse 18. Oh, yeah, here it is. Knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things, with such as silver or gold, here it is, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or without spot. The precious blood. The blood is precious. It ought to be precious to us, but it is precious to the Lord. It's the precious blood of Christ. Precious to, precious to the Lord, and thus precious to us. It's all by God. God designed it all. The blood is first for God to see. It was true of the Passover. It was true of the Day of Atonement. It was first for God to see. And God said, when I see that, and in our own personal lives, when I see that you were not trusting in religion, you were not trusting in your priest, you must not trust your priest, you must not trust your put your trust in your pastor, you must not. You must not put your trust in how good you are and how faithful you were this last year. You can't put your trust in anything about a good Christian you are, how many times you read your Bible. There is one thing and one thing only that God will look to, and he will look to see or not whether you have trusted the Lamb of God for your salvation. If the blood is not on the doorpost and the lintel, he will avoid your house. You see, it's precious, the precious blood of Jesus, the Lamb. It's precious to the Lord. It pleases him. It satisfies him. It's for God to see, and only in a secondary sense for us. So we then have to accept God's evaluation of it. That's what when we look at these Old Testament passages, and of course there's many in the New. The blood is revealed to the humble man, the humble woman, as legal grounds for forgiveness. Legal grounds for forgiveness. You don't need to know how or why. We simply accept. Well, I've turned to this. We simply accept Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses. Let me read that again. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us. Redemption through his blood. That's it. Say, well, what do you feel about it? I don't have to feel anything about it. Well, does it make you shiver with delight? No. It just makes me glad that that's what God puts, is what God looks for. When I get to heaven, what can I say? Except, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. That's the only thing. And God says, that's good. That's what satisfies me. The shed blood satisfies me. My wrath is no longer in operation. You're no longer separate from me. We don't need to know how or why. We simply accept that there is redemption through his blood. And that's the thing that God will look for. You see, we say, did they pray the sinner's prayer? Did they go forward? Did they put their hand up? Did they cry? Did they show up at Bible study? This may be all good in their own way, I suppose. I'm not knocking that everything about that. But I'm simply saying that would not, that one thing, if they were on their deathbed, we would take their hand and say, we're going to ask you one question. Have you put your trust in the shed blood of Jesus Christ? We don't care if you put your hand up. We don't care if you announce at the front. Did you put your trust in the shed blood of Jesus? Because that's our ticket. And that, but my point is, the blood has always been for God and not for us. God wanted to see that. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. These things will not come near unto you. Look at the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 1, verse 14. Verse 13. He has delivered us from the dominion of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. The forgiveness of sins. So we simply accept that when we trust the blood of Jesus, that's enough. We don't need feelings. We don't need to understand it all. It's a simple thing. That the blood means something to God. And so Jesus died. And of course, the picture is powerful, right, in Leviticus. The high priest, which is a picture of Jesus, he comes into the very presence of God boldly. He comes into the presence of God boldly with the blood and sprinkles it 7 times. And that was atonement for a year. It lasted 1 year and then had to be repeated over and over again. But there's something greater has happened. Jesus came with his blood into the Holy of Holies in heaven and presented the blood to his heavenly Father. That's the simplicity of it. So the blood wholly satisfies the righteous requirements of God. What does God require when dealing with unrighteous people? He requires the shedding of blood. And that's all he requires from us. That you can be as unrighteous as you ever possibly could be. But when you turn to the Lord and you say, I trust what you have done, that your righteous requirements have been fully satisfied by the death of your Son. How wonderful. Look with me, if you would, to Romans. Romans chapter 5 and verse 9. Verse 8, but God shows his love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Verse 9, since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from the wrath of God? It's just true. We're justified by his blood. It's always about the blood. In Hebrews chapter 10, again, there's many verses about this, but Hebrews chapter 10 is another good example of the significance of the blood. Verse 19. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy place. What? Since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way which he opened for us. Why do we come boldly? Imagine, nothing irks this world than when you tell everybody that you're excited about going to heaven. You know what they say? It happens every time. They say, it seems pretty presumptuous for you to think you're going to heaven. What makes you think you're going to heaven? Just because you go to church on Sunday? And we say, oh, no, I've gone to a church. Well, what makes think you can just go striding into heaven? Well, we're not going to go striding, but we're going to come boldly. We're going to come boldly through the only way that anybody came, whether it was the high priest himself. We come the same way, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus. That's why we come in. That's why I'm absolutely assured of my salvation. Well, I'm not so sure about it. I don't feel. Listen, you're trusting the wrong thing. You don't trust feelings here. You trust a divine fact. Did Jesus Christ shed his blood or did he not? And if he did, we know that the blood satisfies God completely. 100%, regardless of your performance. And so I'm going to go to heaven shouting hallelujah, shouting glory. Why? Because of what the blood did. Not anything to do with ourselves. Everything to do with our wonderful Lord who gave himself, who loved us and gave himself for us. I mean, could anything be more beautiful, more wonderful than that? The blood wholly satisfies the righteous requirement. God did have requirements. but you couldn't meet them. We were not righteous enough, and so God provided something for himself. The blood provides continuous cleansing. And I know that because of 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Oh, it just cleanses. So I'm being cleansed day by day by day. And so he turned with me to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Brought near by the blood of Christ. God is satisfied. I don't need to stand off and say, I am unworthy, I'm unrighteous. Yes, that's true. I am unworthy, I am unrighteous. But God is satisfied. He's not satisfied by my performance. He's satisfied by his performance. Because all he would trust, the shedding of blood, was what God wanted to see. And it was for him that Jesus died, as it was the high priest, as he shed that blood, as he offered that blood. The blood is first for God to see, secondly, for us to see. Are there benefits for us? Oh, absolutely. Because we are forgiven. That's the greatest thing. We are forgiven. If God can accept the blood as payment for our sins and as the price of our redemption, then we can rest assured that the debt has been paid. All the debt that needed to be paid was paid by the blood of Jesus. So it's all kinds of things for me, but first it was for God. That's what he was looking for. The blood has satisfied God, and so it must satisfy us as well. God keeps short accounts, and we are brought near by the blood of Jesus every day, every hour, and every minute. And you know when, if you feel that somehow you have defiled yourself, you know, you've said something or done something or got involved in something, and you know, you feel not really worthy, and the enemy, of course, is attacking us in those areas as well. The beautiful thing is that in 1 second, I can just say, thank you, Lord, the blood of Jesus is all I trust in. My behavior was despicable, but I thank you for the blood of Christ. I thank you, Lord, for what you have done. And so all day long, every day, all day, how many times I say, Lord, that's under the blood. That's you. What you already covered that because you were completely satisfied. The righteous requirements of a holy, angry God are fully met in Jesus. He said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. It's amazingly wonderful. Every day, every hour, every minute, that cleansing of the blood of Christ. So we come by way of the blood every time. There's no other way. Now this is really, if God is going to answer a prayer, in a New Testament setting certainly, then it's because, Lord, we thank you for, you know, this is how a typical prayer would be if we understood this. Lord, we thank you for the blood of the sacrifice. We thank you that you loved us and gave it yourself for us. In other words, we're just acknowledging that for us to come into the presence of God boldly, which he invites us to come, we have to come only one way. It's not, Lord, you know I've been a pastor for so many years. Excuse me, what was your name? No. Lord, I've read through the Bible 7 times. Lord, I've never missed church. See, often you hear things like that. Lord, you know how much we love you. That's not why we come. We come and say, Lord, thank you for dying for me. Thank you for what you've done in this wonderful sacrifice of your life for us. So we approach God on the merits of the finished work of the cross, and always that. There's no other way. It's not because, Lord, I come before you because I'm so happy today. If I come before God, I come only by the blood of Christ. And the Lord has gone before us into the Holy of Holies. Our boldness, if there is a boldness, our boldness is always through the blood and never through my personal attainment. Will you guard that as you listen to yourself pray and listen to other people pray? Because to me, it's the one thing that will give you confidence. Because when the devil starts working on you and working overtime on you, you'll need to know this, that it's not because of how well I have done, but how well the Lord Jesus has done. So our boldness is always through the blood and never through my personal attainment. My only safe and secure place is the blood of Christ. It is the blood that gives us boldness. Never try to understand more. I think you'll get very confused. To me, it's a simple thing that God required the shedding of blood, and Jesus did that for us. And we say, blessed be your name. The sign was God's. It's a wonderful thing and a powerful thing. I wrote a closing note here. Never try to answer Satan's attacks with our good conduct. Right? That's not the way. Because he will come and he will remind you how could you be a Christian when you had that thought? How could you be a Christian when you were that angry? How could you be, how could you be that way? You can't be that. You're not worthy. And many times say, oh, Lord, you know, I've been trying hard to trust you. That doesn't work at all. The answer is this. Yes, we are sinful. But praise God, the blood cleanses us from every sin. Every sin. Then God looks upon the blood whereby his son has met the charge, and Satan has no more ground of attack. He will always attack if you come by the basis of personal attainment. He will look for ways to show how inconsistent you are. Because think about how angry you've been, how upset you've been, how discouraged you were, what doubt filled your hearts at times. And so the enemy comes. And what do we do with Satan's attacks? Well, we don't mention our good conduct because we don't have any. I can't say, oh, Satan, I'm a faithful child of God, were it so. But I can say, Satan, I am cleansed by the blood of Jesus. No accusation can hold. It's simply you appeal back to what God cherishes. The only way God's accepting you is not it's never been because of your goodness. Never been because of my goodness. It's always because of the sacrifice of his son. That is the one thing and the only thing. So there's no more ground of attack for him. When he says, you're an inconsistent Christian, you say, I am indeed. Well, what makes you think you have God's approval? Because I trust in his finished work. I trust in his finished work. So our faith in the precious blood, and I say, if it's precious to the Lord, right? If it's precious to the Lord, that's the power of this thing. So our faith in the precious blood and our refusal to be moved from that position can alone silence the charges of the enemy and put him to flight. Never bring up your own self-righteousness. Or your own righteousness, which will be self-righteousness. Simply appeal that 2,000 years ago somebody died for me. And because of that, how God values the blood, it's for the Lord. The sacrifice of Jesus was for God the Father. So he could accept you completely. As a completely cleansed and washed person. It's amazing, isn't it? It was for him. So we say, oh, Jesus died for me, for me, for me. It's true for your forgiveness and for your cleansing. But primarily, the essence of it was for God so that he could forgive us all. It's a powerful thing. It was for the Lord. And that's why when I think in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he said, Lord, let this cup pass. Is this necessary? He said, nevertheless, Lord, not my will, but yours be done. And with that, he went to Calvary, to the cross of Calvary. And so when we held these emblems here this morning, the preciousness is not, yes, he did this for me, but the greater thing, it pleased the Lord. When I see in other words, at any given point, the thing that brings about my salvation is the fact that I've trusted in what God accepts. No one will get to heaven who doesn't put their trust in the blood. Right? It's got nothing to do how well you do. It's that your faith and confidence in the blood of Christ. So when we sing and rejoice, it's always focused on that God is now satisfied. He's wonderfully satisfied. We don't have to try and please him or try to do things because he's quite pleased. Because he saw the blood. And my faith and my confidence in that. So you see how that works out and when the very day that we step into heaven. And we come. Do we come and say, oh, I hope my good outweighed my bad. Oh, I hope I did more right things than I did right. What kind of craziness is that? That's crazy talk. You won't hear that in heaven by blood-bought people. We would say it's because the Lord saw the blood and saw my trust in that blood, and my ticket is the shed blood of Jesus. But what about works? What about labor? No. By blood alone, by faith alone, by Christ alone. One thing determines life from death, and that is where you put your trust. And if you put your trust in Christ and all that he has done for you, and the Lord will say, when I see the blood of Jesus, and will pass over you. And the devourer will be kept from your house. It's a wonderful thing. So we thank the Lord of what the blood means to God. It means everything to him. It means everything. And that's why, well, there's just so many implications of it, but would you not serve the Lord, this free thing that has come our way, where God is now satisfied because of what Jesus did? This is grace to the thousandth degree. Somebody did something for you, and all you had to do was believe it. So do you believe that Jesus Christ shed his blood for you, that you have faith in that and nothing else? If you do, then I say that's what the faith is about. That's what Christianity is about. Trusting God because he is now satisfied by what Jesus did. And as I go into this new year, I'm not praying that I'll work harder or do more. I just say, Lord, I want to thank you for the great grace. Thank you that you're satisfied with Jesus. And we are justified by that blood. We are forgiven by that blood. There's all kinds of things that benefit us. But first of all, God is satisfied. Then secondly, we are satisfied. And then thirdly, of course, is the enemy is put to flight because we refuse to do anything about our own merits. And that's why when people say, well, you're not a perfect. No, I said I'm not. I am a sinner. But I am a sinner who's looking only to the blood of Christ. I have no other hope of righteousness. None. None. One thing and one thing alone. Are you trusting in the blood of Jesus? Are you trusting in the blood of Jesus? Are you trusting in the blood of Jesus? And never leave that position. Never leave that foundation. And never put your trust in your faithfulness. Your faithfulness to this church, as much as it's appreciated by us, it is. You cannot brag about that. It is unacceptable to God. It's not by works. It's not by... It's the precious blood of Jesus alone. Because I think I've heard people say, well, I don't know why this happened. I mean, after all, my family and I have been serving that church for many years. What? What is this about? Well, you know, we've been faithful. Well, I'm sure there's a reward for faithfulness, but you can't bring that before God and say, you know, my family's had a long tradition in that church. We donated the offering plates. And we were... you know, how many times I've heard this, but say, I want you to know, Pastor, my father was a deacon in the Baptist church. Oh, well, I'll be sure to mention that when I get to heaven. It's you hear that all the time. My father was a deacon in the church. Or my mother used to put the choir together. She's watching, that's going to be an in for me when I get. No, it will not be. Aren't you glad it's this way? Aren't you glad that the blood, first of all, satisfied Jesus, or satisfied God? Jesus' blood satisfied God. And secondly, it satisfies us. But how grateful we are for this free salvation that has come. The sheer grace of it all. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. alone, one thing. And when we, if I see you in heaven, I'm planning on seeing you. That's what I'm planning on. But when I see you in heaven, we're gonna, when we sing and praise the Lord, it won't be about how good we were and how strong we were and how we overcame. It'll be the one thing. Behold the Lamb of God. Right? Behold the Lamb of God. Let's stand. You know, something in my heart is grateful that it's not any other way. And even when we pray, and I hope that your prayers are reflected. I hope there is something about, Lord, thank you for your sacrifice for us. Lord, thank you for giving of yourself. Lord, thank you through the blood of Jesus. We come. And we imagine this. If you come before God Almighty, if you come before him, but boldly with one thing and say, Lord, we come because your Son made a way and satisfied your heart. And so we come to you. And I come boldly, Lord. Not through anything I have done, but because you did everything for me. Lord, thank you for the blood of Christ. Thank you that your heart is satisfied. And you can accept us just as we are, completely undone. Lord, we confess many times, if we're not sinning, we're thinking about it. We just can't boast about what we have done. But we do boast in Christ alone. In Christ alone, Lord, we put our trust. In your blood alone, we put our trust. In your Son's sacrifice. Lord, as you looked to Jesus to satisfy your heart, Lord, so we look to Jesus alone. Thank you. Thank you for accepting us because of the blood. Oh, we're grateful that it's on the lintels and the doorposts. And when the death angel comes, we don't worry. Because when you see the blood, you pass over us. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Lord, the mystery we don't understand fully about the Passover, of sacrificing outside and eating inside. We don't fully understand, Lord, the truth of the Day of Atonement, sacrificed outside, but the blood sprinkled seven times. We don't fully understand all that, but we accept it. And we thank you that we are atoned. Thank you for that wonderful truth. Bless us now, Lord, I pray. Pray this whole new year will just be a great year, a wonderful year of trusting you. Lord, looking always to you for the next month and for the things ahead for Valley Church. And we would say, Lord, pour your Spirit upon our church. Let this be a year we'd look back and say, there was just a great outpouring of God in that place. So we thank you. We anticipate wonderful times together. And we'll give you thanks and praise for it all. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thanks for being here this morning. Please join us if you can on outside on the patio if it's not too chilly. And I think it's going to get a little sunny out there. So God bless you. Happy New Year to all. We'll see you soon.